Man, it's so good to see you here in Sunday school. Always a special treat to look out there and see you in your place. As Brother Chris said, so good to have Debbie back with us after that extended time getting better. And, of course, Debbie was Linda's ride, so we've been missing them both. And Joanne's been with us most of this time. Those are a very special three ladies back there. And I just want you to know I'm glad to see them back today. And, of course, we miss Bam, and we miss we'll miss several this morning. But I'm glad that you're here, and I am glad to be as well. Well, if you're glad you're a child of God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a child of God, too. And my reading over the past 4 or 5 months about the end times and about the second coming of Christ has been an encouragement to my heart and a strength to my mind, because it has, number one, I'm just like you, or you may not be this way, but I am. I forget things. Do you ever forget anything, Brother Elbert?
Every
once in a while? Well, so much of this was a review for me, and it encouraged my heart, and I think that maybe this lesson, if I can just not get onto too many rabbit trails, will be our last in this series. And I'll ask you to take your Bible and turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The different ways that it has encouraged my heart is it has reminded that God reminded me, and we know this, but we need to be reminded of this from time to time. God is in charge. God is still in. He's still sovereign. He's still in charge of things. And also the fact that, and I don't want to get into too much of this because it'll be the lesson, but I'm encouraged by the fact that we see what we see in our world today, and you know this as well as I do, what we see in our day-to-day as far as where culture is going is not encouraging. Amen? For the most part, it's not encouraging to the child of God, to the Christian. But however, when you look in the big picture of things, it is encouraging, because God's word said things were going to go this way. Now, you hear that. I hate to say that too much, because our tendency as human beings, well, if it's going to be that way, then why should I worry about it? Why should I pray about it? Why should I vote? Why? Well, because there's a principle in God's word that God honors our coming to him in prayer. There's a principle in the scriptures that God honors our getting together and working together to better our lives, our culture, our society. And so it's very important that we remember that. Although we're believers in the fact that God's word said all this would take place, we're also believers in God's word that he does not want us to give up. He does not want us to look to doom and gloom, you know, and I get sometimes that way, and I know you probably do too. Anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses. Are you there? Amen. Well, I know this side's there. Verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. Now, before we go on to verse number 4, there's really two falling aways. There's one before the tribulation starts, before the rapture takes place. God's word says that there'll be a falling away there. And then we see in the Bible about the great falling away in the 7-year tribulation. And during that time, it's not just a falling away, it's falling off the cliff. We're going to get to that starting in verse number 4. This man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he doesn't just oppose God and exalt himself. He says he is God. That's what the Antichrist will do. For those 7 years, he will want to be the one that's worshipped. He will be the one that calls the shots for the entire world. Now, verse number 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, that just simply means that what is going to be full scale during the tribulation is working today. Not to the extent that it will in the tribulation, but the lawlessness and the iniquity and the sin that will go full-fledged 100%, the Antichrist will have free of, he'll be free of any controls on his decisions, on his life. He'll do what he can. For 7 years, we're seeing just bits and parts of it today. You read the news, you can see it. You can see the lawlessness. You can see the people who don't have any right or wrong, people who don't have any logic, any understanding, and what they had, what they used to have, they no longer have. For the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth or hinder, only he who now hinder will hinder. You know, one of the reasons why the tribulation will be such a bad place is because God's Holy Spirit will not be on this world, in this world. God's Holy Spirit, the one thing that is pushing back on it today, the church, God's Holy Spirit in the church, God's Holy Spirit in Christians, God's Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. For 200, 250 years, this country has been a hindering force on wickedness because of God's people. The influence that God's word has upon his people, and then the influence that God's people have on our culture, is a pulling back. It is a hindering. And when we get pulled out of this thing during the rapture, Katie barred the door. Open season, sin to the nth degree. 100% of the effects of sin will be happening when we get taken out of this place. So, what is in verse number 7? Only who now letteth or hindereth will hinder. He's hindering right now until he be taken out of the way, and he will no longer be hindering at that point. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay, so that's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. That's going to happen after the end of the 7 years, but for 7 years, he's going to have full reign. Verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now let's look at the character of this guy. First of all, go back to verse number 4. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the gall of this guy. And then in verse number 9, his coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now remember what we talked about when the rapture comes and the tribulation start. We'll be out of here, the church will be out of here, but there'll be a man come onto the scene, or there'll be a person come onto the scene, the Antichrist, who will, for 3.5 years, provide a place where everybody thinks they're getting along. He'll make a covenant with the nation of Israel. There'll be treaties. There'll be peace. Everybody thinks it's okay. And then at the midpoint, the Bible says, after 3.5 years, it all goes to pot. The church, the nation of Israel is betrayed. The false apostate church that they have is destroyed by the Antichrist. The mark of the beast that's put on your forehead will be instituted, and they have 3.5 years of pure tribulation, horrible persecution. This is him that's doing it, this guy in this chapter. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, that's a lot of reading. What I wanted to take you to was at that point in time, and we won't say much about it because we already had a lesson on the Antichrist and on the false prophet, but it's an important part of this is during that time when it happens, the Antichrist will come onto the scene, and he'll be the guy. Now, we've got a lot. In fact, a couple of years ago when we went through 1 John chapter 2, we saw that John says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, that's the one we're talking about. But then he says, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. So once again, what we will see during the tribulation, full-fledged, 100%, full steam ahead, we're seeing little bits and pieces of today and have since the beginning of time. Why is that? Because the mama hasn't delivered the baby yet. Because the mama is still in labor. The mama, if we use the words, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just to keep the analogy going here. I'll start in verse 1. We'll read 3 verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So we took a whole lesson one Sunday, and we looked at the New Testament examples, how when the coming of the Lord is described, it is as a pregnant woman who is experiencing labor pains. They start slow at first, and they start low at first, but they get more and more. They increase in frequency. They increase in intensity until the baby is born. That analogy is used when talking about all of these things that are happening in today's time, all of these signs of the times, if you will. One of the wonderful reminders of the great blessings that this country has had from God in the last 200 years has been reminded to me, and that is this right here. We have had a nation for 200 years plus that has had so many of God's people, and that has had so much of God's word being taught in universities. All these cockamamie universities now that are allowing these riots started out as Christian universities. And God's word was taught. That effect upon this society was a wonderful effect. Churches were built. Missionaries were sent all over the world. Why? Because that was an important thing for the United States of America. Were we perfect? No. A lot of people were messed up, just like a lot of people are messed up today. But the point is the Word of God and the people of God and the Church of God and the men and women of God, there was an influence upon society that hindered that, that pulled that back. And now, if you'll notice, in our leadership are so many people who want to reverse this. Consider the Constitution. Those are the bylaws of the United States of America, correct? The very common precepts of not murdering people, the very common truths of treating each other respect, treating each other and giving each other the rights that we should have, the freedoms, the very ideas of the Constitution comes from God's Word. And we don't have time to prove that. I probably couldn't prove it. I'm not that smart, but they're there, and you know they are too. Amen? The foundation of the Constitution of the United States comes from the Word of God, and we have so many leaders in leadership today in the Senate and in the House of Representatives and higher that want to do away with the Constitution. Have you seen this? It's only been probably the past 3 months in the news. These yahoos want to do away with the Constitution. During the tribulation, there'll be no Constitution. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says as much, not in those words. Think back with me what'll happen. What will one of the things be that the Antichrist does? Well, one of the things that he does is this right here. He's going to establish a one world government. As soon as I get to the right place in my notes, I'll tell you about it. There's a great couple of verses that show this. I just can't find them. What's going to happen is this man is going to come onto the scene, and there'll be a one world government, and there will be no freedoms. There will be no opinions but his. There'll be a, we took a whole lesson on the false prophet. The Bible calls the new church that'll happen in the tribulation a harlot, a whore. It'll be a worldwide church where they'll all just get along. And look at, okay, consider that instance right there. Consider what church culture was 40 years ago, 60 years ago, compared to what it is today. Now, I'm not talking about Bible Baptist Church or churches like ours. And I'm not an expert on this. Being here three or four times a week, I'm not out there, but I read a lot, and there are a great many churches around us, even in this area, where you don't have to believe God's Word. Or you believe God's Word, but not all of it. Or you believe what you would consider to be the important parts, but not all the wonderful, fine, detailed truths that are in Scripture, because they don't apply for today. We didn't hardly have that 50 years ago. I mean, there have always been detractors. There were detractors from the faith when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was on his missionary journeys. He preached about them. But what we have to a small degree today, and it is small in the sense that it's happened over a long period of time. We're going back to a time where not us and not many churches like us, but where people are going to church once a week. And then, like I said Wednesday night, that's not a right or wrong issue. That's just what we need is influence from the Word of God. Amen? And the more I can get it in my life, and I can get it in my heart, and I can get it knocked in my thick head and my thick skull, the better for me as a child of God. So this man will be on the scene, and he'll be calling all the shots. And he'll have his church, the false prophet. Antichrist will be in cahoots with the false prophet, and they'll have this church thing all laid out, and it'll be such a wonderful thing for 3.5 years. And then after 3.5 years, the Antichrist no longer needs the church, and he does away with the church. And lo and behold, the false prophet, after 3.5 years, decides he's not concerned with religion anymore. He's concerned with your finances, or not your the people's finances. We won't be around, so it's not yours, okay? That just slipped out there. All of a sudden, his big thing that he's concerned with is people's money. And Brother Elbert, if people are around during the tribulation after 3.5 years and they want to buy a meal, they got to have the mark of the beast on their forehead. Now, once again, all of these things, remember, the labor pains are happening more and more and more frequent, more intense as time goes on. Remember, Hitler made people have a mark. Remember that? A number? So this is nothing new. And it's not been new for hundreds and thousands of years. But after the rapture, when the tribulation starts, it's dead on. It's 100%. That's what's happening. So I see all of this, and I all of these facts of what's going to happen in the tribulation, and I see that, you know, although there's always been temptations and trials for God's people, when it comes to the time of the tribulation, it's going to be complete. There'll be a mark of the beast. There'll be the false religion, and there'll be cahoots with the Antichrist. But in the middle of all that, there's a bright light. Revelation tells us that during the tribulation, 144,000 witnesses will be called from among the 12 tribes of Israel. Those Jews who believe in Jesus Christ will preach the gospel over the whole earth. Can you say amen? Amen. Although the first Christians came from the nation of Israel, the majority of Jews throughout history have rejected their Messiah. This will change among a lot of people during the tribulation. Now the question comes up, will people be saved during the tribulation? Many people, the Bible says, will be saved during the tribulation. And they'll be saved the same way you and I are saved today, by grace through faith in Christ alone. But, unlike you and me, they'll have to pay a steep price for their conversion, for their belief in the Lord. These 144,000 witnesses will lead many Jews and Gentiles to Christ during the hardships of their tribulation, of their trials. But they will be sealed by God, and they will get through it. Will they be killed? Yes. Will they be tortured? Yes. All the things we see, let me read you just a couple of verses from Hebrews 11. I jotted these down earlier this morning because I believe they're a good picture of what's going to take place during the tribulation for those people who are having to experience that. I had to chuckle this morning when Brother Stacy said he got up late. Because, you see, I've got one piece of paper here. I'm supposed to have two. And I don't know where the other one is. And so my brain is a little off kilter here. But if you go to, we don't have time to go to it, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, at the end of the chapter, you see the details of what's happened to the martyrs that have suffered and lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. Read those descriptions when you get home. Their heads were cut off. Limbs were cut off. They suffered tremendous torture. That's going to happen during the tribulation. And those 144,000 people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and become witnesses for Him, and they go out and they become preachers, so to speak, or witnesses, and they lead people to the Lord, they will have a lot of success in what they do. In fact, at the end of the tribulation, there'll be so many. Let me read you these words. This is what happens at the very end with the results of these people, these 144,000 people who've gone out and led all these people to the Lord. Revelation 7:9 says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And there's also a verse that says it's from every tribe, every kindred, every nation, and I can't find it. Oh, that was that verse, which no man could number, of all nations. Now, these are the people that are saved in the tribulation, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And how are they saved? Why are they saved? Because these 144,000 witnesses went out and shared the gospel with them. That's the bright light that I was trying to tell you about. In all of this darkness and all of this gloomness, there's going to be many people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Based on what we just heard, is it still possible for people to be saved during the rapture? Yes. Well, if it is, then why not just wait until then to see if all this stuff is true? Sound good? Is that a plan? There's a special dynamic in Scripture. And you know me, I love that word, those two words, special dynamic, because when I see something that's all throughout the Word of God, that's a special dynamic that exists. Well, there's a special dynamic in Scripture that Christ wants us to accept Him now. If you're not willing to be saved during this age today, when many Christians, at least here in America, are spared persecution, we're not persecuted. We might get to a point where we become more persecuted, but we're not persecuted today. If you're not willing to be saved when the cost is not that great, what makes you think that you would want to do it when you're going to lose your life if you do it? During the tribulation, you will pay a severe price. Now is the time. Now is the accepted day that we need to give our lives to the Lord. Well, I thought I had that. Oh, yeah. Once again, I need my other piece of paper. The very last thing I want to cover with you is this right here. How much our present time is starting to look like all of what I just said. Okay? Let's go back to the one world government and that leader. Let me get you to think back 5 years ago to 2019 during COVID. Did you lose any liberties? You lose any freedoms? Yeah. It was a start. Now, you could make the argument that those were necessary things that society had to do, because we didn't know anything about COVID, did we? I mean, it was brand new. I mean, I guess medical people knew. We didn't know. So we voluntarily gave up our liberties to get around, you know, not get within 6 feet of people and wear the stinking mask that you couldn't breathe in and all that stuff. All I'm saying is you can see how easy it is to lose your freedoms. We thank God for being in this wonderful country of ours. Like I was saying at the beginning of the message, it's been such a wonderful place for Christians to be, to Christians to live. The Word of God has influenced this country so great for so long. But things are changing. God's Word has not been in the public classroom for 45 or 50 years. Remember, it was kicked out. So if God's Word is kicked out of society and that influence goes away, there'll be so much more on an increasing scale of what we've seen only a little bit of. Loss of freedom, loss of understanding, loss of logic, loss of respect for others, a rise in racism. You know, racism is not something that God's Word is a proponent of. And for so long in this country, things seem to be getting so much better in regards to the color of the skin. But just look at the news. There's more racism today than we've ever had. When sin goes full throttle in the tribulation, what we see a little bit of now, they're going to see a lot in the tribulation. And this wonderful blessing that we've had in America, I cannot imagine what Americans will have to go through in the tribulation, because they're used to this. They're used to this wonderful country that they've been in. And if they're not a child of God and we're all pulled out of this place, can you just imagine, first of all, how they're going to feel right then? During the rapture, when all of us just disappear, that's going to be a world event by itself. All the potential catastrophes that could happen. The disappearances of God's people. All the good influence of you individuals in this room will be gone. And whoever you are influencing for the good, because God's word has influenced you and you've taken it into your heart and now you're influencing your neighbors and your family and the community, all that's going away. And so this man will come onto the scene and he'll pull it all together and he's going to be a wonderful, so-called wonderful solution for 3.5 years. And then the wheels come off. And what they just experienced in a small way, they're going to get the full brunt of. When in our text, verse number 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2, the verse was, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way." And we talked about that. When the Holy Spirit is not in this place, when God's people are not in this place, when these church doors are closed, society will go so far south. Well, did you know that same concept, that same principle is valid in my life and in your life? God's Holy Spirit is the only thing that keeps us on a level keel. It keeps us thinking right. God's Holy Spirit keeps me and Valerie married, because I know she'd just throw me off of a cliff if she didn't have God's Holy Spirit teaching her how to be a good wife. God's Holy Spirit teaches us how to live with each other and be good citizens. And so just like society at the rapture, after the rapture, during the tribulation, just like society is going to go so far off the cliff, the reason I need God's Spirit in my life is for the same reason. Because when I don't listen to His voice, and when I allow myself to be guided and directed by something other than this right here, I go off the cliff too. I'm still saved, but I don't act like I do. I don't talk like I am. I don't think like I am. And I need this, and you need this to keep us on track. Amen? Hey, I appreciate you guys so much for being here. Would you pray with me?